Hey guys, this is Vyom Joshi with Superior North. Welcome back to my channel. Today, I will be talking about a stock that I came across while going through the Japan Company Handbook, and that stock is called JM Holdings Company Limited. JM Holdings was formerly known as Japan Meat. JM Holdings is known for opening stores at various sites such as roadside stores and shops in large commercial facilities, and has a strength in lineups of fresh food centering on meats. In this video, I will be talking about the company's business, then reviewing the company's fundamentals by focusing on its key ratios, and finally find the intrinsic value of the company. So let's dive in and review JM Holdings Company Limited.
Hey guys, let's start off by looking at the company description. JM Holdings Company Limited engages in the retail and wholesale of meat packs, general food products, fruits, fresh fish, and prepared dishes. It has two operating segments, which are its supermarket business and other segments. The supermarket business, according to the Japan Company Handbook, accounted for about 95% of the company's consolidated sales, and the other segment accounted for about 5% of the company's consolidated sales. The supermarket business segment engages in the wholesale of meat, food items, fruits and vegetables, fresh fishes, and prepared foods. The other segment manages restaurants and other related businesses. Now that we went through a brief description of the company's business and its two operating segments, let's review the company's fundamentals by going through its key ratios. Over here, I'm on Morningstar looking at JM Holdings Company. Under key ratios, we have the financials. The first item on the list is the revenue. The revenue is the top line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that the company brings in via sales. Back in 2015, the company's revenue was about 91.5 billion yen. And for the year 2021, that number had grown to about 129.8 billion yen. The company's revenue has been trending upwards ever since 2015. Next, looking at the operating income. The operating income is the amount of money that's left with the company once we subtract the cost of goods and operating expenses from the company's revenue. Back in 2015, the company's operating income was about 3.5 billion yen. And for the year 2021, that number had grown to about 6.6 billion yen. Similar to the company's revenue, the company's operating income has also been trending upwards. Next, looking at the net income. The net income is the bottom line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that's left with the company once it pays for the cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes. Back in 2015, the company's net income was about 1.9 billion yen. And for the year 2021, that number had grown to about 4.2 billion yen. Similar to the trend of the company's revenue and operating income, the company's net income has also been trending upwards. Ideally, we want to invest in companies whose revenue, operating income, as well as net income are either staying steady or increasing, and at the same time, whose gross margin and operating margin are staying steady or increasing. Next, looking at the dividends per share. Back in 2016, the company paid out about 10 yen per share as dividend, and for the year 2021, it paid out about 30 yen per share as dividend. The company has been consistent at paying out its dividends over the past few years. In fact, it hiked its dividends for three of those years, that is back in 2017, 2020, and 2021. Next, looking at the shares outstanding. Back in 2015, the company had 22 million shares outstanding. The number grew to about 27 million shares back in 2017. And ever since then, that number has stayed consistent at 27 million shares. Ideally, we want to invest in companies whose shares outstanding number is staying steady or decreasing. And we can see that the company's shares outstanding number has stayed consistent since 2017, which tells us that the company's management is not diluting the existing shareholders' ownership within the company. A slight increase in the company's shares outstanding number indicates that the company may have engaged in equity financing in order to raise cash to finance its projects. Next, looking at the book value per share. The book value is what we get when we subtract the company's total liabilities from its total assets. Back in 2017, the company's book value was about 798 yen per share, and that number had grown to about 1,175 yen per share for the year 2021. Ideally, we want to invest in companies whose book value per share is positive, staying steady, or increasing. And we can see that JM Holdings' book value per share has been positive and increasing, which tells us that the company always had more assets than liabilities on its balance sheet, and the proportion of the company's assets to its liabilities is increasing. Finally, looking at the free cash flow. The free cash flow is what we get when we subtract capital spending from the company's operating cash flow. Back in 2015, the company's free cash flow was about 2,045 million yen. And for the year 2021, that number was about 3,895 million yen. Ideally, we want to invest in companies whose free cash flow has been positive, staying steady or increasing. And we can see that JM Holdings' free cash flow has always been positive. I will be using the 2021 free cash flow number of 3,895 million yen for my discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Next, looking at the profitability of the company, focusing on the net margin. The net margin is the ratio of the company's bottom line to its top line, so it compares the company's net income to its revenue. Back in 2015, the company's net margin was about 2.03%, and for the year 2021, that number had grown to about 3.27%. What this means is every $100 that the company made in sales in the year 2021, by the time it paid for its cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes, it had $3.27 left as pure profit. Next, looking at the return on equity. The return on equity is the ratio of the company's net income to its shareholders' equity. Warren Buffett prefers to only invest in securities that have a return on equity of 8% or greater every year for the past 10 years. Back in 2015, the company's return on equity was about 14.42%, and for the year 2021, it was about 13.92%. We can see that the company's return on equity has been greater than 8% ever since 2015. Finally, looking at the interest coverage. The interest coverage is the ratio of the company's income to its interest obligations. So it gives us an idea of how many times can the company pay off its interest obligations using its income in that calendar year. Back in 2015, the company's interest coverage was about 111 times, and for the trailing 12 months, that number was about 189 times. Benjamin Graham, the father of value investing, preferred to only invest in securities that had an interest coverage of 5 times or higher. Now let's look at the financial health of the company, focusing on the liquidity ratios. The first item on the list is the current ratio. The current ratio compares the company's current assets to its current liabilities. Ideally, we want to invest in companies whose current ratio is greater than 1.0. It's even better if it's greater than 1.5. A current ratio greater than 1.0 tells us that the company has more than enough current assets to fulfill its current liabilities. Back in 2015, the company's current ratio was at 1.34, and for the latest quarter, it's at 1.59. GM Holdings' current ratio has been greater than 1.5 times since 2017. Next, looking at the quick ratio. The quick ratio is similar to the current ratio, except we disregard the inventory component. In other words, quick ratio is equal to current assets minus inventory divided by current liabilities. A quick ratio greater than 1.0 tells us that the company does not have to rely on selling its inventory in order to fulfill its current liabilities. Back in 2015, the company's quick ratio was at 0.82, and for the latest quarter, it's at 1.17. Both the current and quick ratios for the latest quarter indicate that the company is liquid and should not have any issues fulfilling its liabilities over the next 12 months. Next, looking at the financial leverage. The financial leverage is the ratio of the company's total assets to its shareholders' equity. A financial leverage of 1.0 tells us that all of the company's assets are financed via shareholders' equity. A high financial leverage tells us that more of the company's assets are financed via liabilities. Back in 2015, the company's financial leverage was at 2.2 times. And for the latest quarter, it's at 1.72 times. Ideally, we want to see the company's financial leverage to be staying steady or decreasing. And we can see that GM Holdings' financial leverage has been trending downwards. Finally, looking at the debt-to-equity ratio, this ratio compares the company's total debt to its shareholders' equity. Ideally, we want to invest in companies whose debt-to-equity ratio is less than 0.5. Back in 2015, the company's debt-to-equity ratio was at 0.36. And for the latest quarter, it's at 0.07. So both the financial leverage and debt-to-equity ratios for the latest quarter show that the company is less leveraged and has less debt now than it had back in 2015. Now let's look at the efficiency ratios. The first item on the list is the day sales outstanding. This number gives an idea of how many days go by from the day the company recognizes its sale to the date actually receives cash for that service rendered. Back in 2015, the company's day sales outstanding was about 2.94 days. And for the year 2021, it was about 6.25 days. Ideally, we want to see the company's day sales outstanding number to be staying steady or decreasing. An increasing day sales outstanding number tells us that the company may be aggressive with its accounting as it's trying to recognize its revenue sooner so that it can inflate its income number on its income statement. In the case of GM Holdings, the company's day sales outstanding number has been increasing. However, it's not growing at a rapid pace where it's a cause of concern, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on. If we see this number suddenly growing to like high teens, then that is a cause of concern because it's a rapid growth and it means that the management is playing accounting tricks on us to inflate those income numbers on the income statement. Next, looking at the day's inventory, this number tells us how many days does the company's product sit in its inventory before it's sold. Back in 2015, the company's product sat in its inventory for about 19.21 days. And for the year 2021, it was about 19.60 days. Ideally, we want to see the company's day's inventory number to be staying steady or decreasing. And we can see that GM Holdings' day's inventory number, for the most part, has been consistent, hovering in the 19 days range. Next, looking at the payables period, this number gives an idea of how many days does the company take to pay its suppliers. Back in 2015, the company's payables period was about 24.37 days. And for the year 2021, that number was about 30.21 days. Ideally, we want to see the company's payables period to be staying steady or decreasing. A rapidly increasing payables period tells us that the company is holding on to its cash in order to artificially inflate its cash flow numbers on its cash flow statement. In the case of GM Holdings, the company's payables period has stayed fairly consistent. We do see a jump in the year 2021. However, it's not rapid to the point where it's a cause of concern. Finally, looking at the cash conversion cycle, this number is calculated by adding up the day sales outstanding plus the day's inventory minus the payables period. A negative cash conversion cycle tells us that the cash inflow days exceed the cash outflow days. In other words, if you're running a business and you receive cash in 25 days, however, you don't have to pay out that cash until 30 days, then you have a negative 5-day cash conversion cycle. That is, for 5 days, you can do anything with that cash that you'd like. So a negative cash conversion cycle is a good thing. Now let's look at the current valuation of the company and compare it to the S&P 500. The S&P 500 is the aggregate of the top 500 companies in the United States. The first item on the list is the price-to-earnings ratio. GM Holdings' PE is at 12.0, whereas S&P 500 is at 24.9. GM Holdings' price-to-book is at 1.6, whereas S&P 500 is at 4.5. The company's price-to-sales is at 0.4, whereas S&P 500 is at 3.2. The company's price to cash flow is at 7.0, whereas S&P 500 is at 18.1. And finally, the dividend yield. GM Holdings has a dividend yield of 1.6%, whereas S&P 500 is at 1.4%. So we can see that on all these valuation metrics, GM Holdings is undervalued when compared to the S&P 500. Now let's look at the discounted free cash flow DCF analysis for GM Holdings. Over here, I pasted the company's 2021 free cash flow number that I got from Morningstar, which was at 3,895 million yen. I'm assuming the annual growth rate of free cash flow to be 5%. What this means is I expect the company's free cash flow to grow at 5% every year for the next 10 years. I'm using a discount rate of 10%. What this means is I expect this investment to give me a 10% return. I'm using a long-term growth rate of 3%. What this means is after the 10-year mark into perpetuity, I expect the company's free cash flow to grow at 3%. The company has 27 million shares outstanding and has a long-term debt of 1,257 million yen. I got this number from the company's balance sheet. After taking all of these inputs into account, we get the company's intrinsic value to be about 2,353 yen per share. And when we compare this intrinsic value to the company's current stock price, which is about 1,906 yen per share, we can see that the current stock price is trading about 19% below the company's intrinsic value. The way we calculate this intrinsic value is we look at what the free cash flows would be every year for the next 10 years. We sum up all those free cash flows, which come out to about 30 billion yen. Then we look at what the free cash flows would be after the 10-year mark into perpetuity. We sum all these up to get the intrinsic value to be about 65 billion yen. From this number, we subtract the long-term debt and divide by the shares outstanding to get the intrinsic value per share to be about 2,353 yen per share. Now, if you disregard the perpetuity component, in other words, if you think that GM Holdings is only going to grow for the next 10 years and then it'll cease to exist, then we get the intrinsic value without the perpetuity to be about 1,080 yen per share. And finally, if you disregard the debt, in other words, if you think that GM Holdings is going to grow into perpetuity, so there is no point for the company to worry about its debt, then we get the intrinsic value without the debt to be about 2,400 yen per share. So overall, GM Holdings has good fundamentals, the company has high return on equity numbers, and it is not using leverage in order to artificially create a high return on equity number. The company is undervalued not only from a discounted free cash or DCF analysis standpoint, but also when we looked at all the valuation metrics, the company was undervalued when compared to the S&P 500. And finally, when we look at the management of the company, according to the Japan Company Handbook, Koji Sakai, who is the chairman, owns about 12% of all the shares outstanding, and the president, who is similar to the American CEO, Masahiro Sakai, owns about 19.2% of all the shares outstanding. So together, the chairman and the president has a big vested interest in the well-being of the company. Hey guys, that is all I had for you this week. Hopefully you found this video on GM Holdings is interesting. If you like this content, please do like, share, comment, and subscribe. And if you have any suggestions on which stock I should review next, please leave them in the comment section below. I'll greatly appreciate it. Thank you.